What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. He played 14 years in the league, missed one game. That's why I called him this morning for medical advice. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
What up, brother? How my friend doing? She's good?
We're getting there. She's a tad stubborn, so she wants to just refuse that it's hurt.
She married you?
Just
call me. I'll make sure she's okay. Don't listen to everything you say because you might try to medicate her improperly.
My wife's questionable on the injury report. Calf. We'll see how that goes for Tuesday's big match. B, did you watch football last night?
Yes.
Dude, so I had the first alt cast last night. The Wiz got smoked, but they're kind of supposed to get smoked at this point. Had a lot of fun on the Allcast B. Anytime you get to spend 3 hours with Jimmy Patsos, you know you're going to enjoy yourself.
Did Jimmy go where I say he was going to go before y'all started?
Nope. Nobody went anywhere until after the game.
Are you sure?
And Jimmy only had one.
Hold on. Did he not have a thermos or a coffee cup?
Nah, man. Nope. We both had water. Okay. Shout out to Gabby and Nick that were running the studio. They had a setup with Dasani all night, baby. We each had a Diet Coke at halftime.
I see. Y'all growing up, acting mature now.
no real option, dude. So I didn't really get to watch much of that game. By the time I kind of got to check in, it was third quarter. Oh, shout out to – we got a new first commenter in the chat, B. You know who it is?
Who that?
Shout out to Rashawn Baker. You get first place this morning, Rashawn.
What up, Rashawn?
Appreciate you. So by the time I got to turn it on was mid-third quarter, and I was driving home, so I was listening on the radio. Do you know who is the color commentator on Thursday Night Football? I assume it's Westwood One that I was listening to. Do you know who does the color?
No.
Ron Rivera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting to hear Ron.
It was good?
He's pretty good. It was fun. When I got in the car, it was 21-17, and O'Connell had like a 4th-and-4, I think, and he decided to kick the field goal to make it 21-20, and it was just very funny because the announcer asked Ron what he would do in that situation, and then the Riverboat Ron nickname came up, and he told the story of John Madden, and it was just like – for a brief moment, I felt like I was living in, like, the past. Like,
when
oh my God,
I answered
this
question
so many times.
When he asked the question, what was your answer?
my answer is he probably wouldn't have, but he said depends on the situation. So who knows?
Okay. That's the way to get past it.
It was a good game, clearly. And
I know they missed the call at the end, but let's just be real. Minnesota wasn't winning that game.
You're right. Even if they get that call right, it's 1st and 10 at the 20 or 15.
They weren't winning that game last night.
And they were down 10. They were down 8 at that point. So it was
JP,
one score.
I made a $100 bet and I won. Guess what?
You're on fire right
guess
now.
Guess who I bet?
The Rams system
my,
pick?
My daughter.
Oh, she took the Vikings?
She bet me $100. Said, oh, Vikings 5-1. Rams 24. She ain't winning this game. I said, bet.
Are you going to make her pay you?
I try to put it in my grandson's account.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, I knew she wasn't handing me the money. She's not gonna shortchange her son.
Well, I was wondering, depending on which daughter it is, it's like, yeah, you know, she's paying you, but you're kind of just paying it right back.
That's the one that's married with her own job.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The little one, it would just be a circle.
Nah, Aaliyah would be like, man, you know I was joking.
The Vikings got absolutely hosed on the face mask.
Yeah.
The back judge is standing right there. I do not know how you don't make the call. And furthermore, Brian, every scoring play is reviewable. That's a scoring play because it was a safety. How the hell can you not review that?
Hey, you can't review penalties, to be honest with you.
And if you can review pass interference now.
You can review it and do what? They can find out where the spot or something is.
No, now, you know what? I guess to your point, because it wasn't called, you can't review it.
Yeah, if it was called, you can review it. But let's say ultimately they have that little, what that little crap they've been calling that got us twice in Tampa?
The New York joint, whatever it's
whatever
called.
Whatever they call that.
Replay assist.
Yeah, if replay assist didn't help him, then guess what? It ain't going to help you.
Yeah, that's true, man. I don't think the Vikes were winning. I think we also need to – you know where I stand in the McVay, Shanahan, McDaniel, LaFleur, O'Connell world. Sean is the one seed of all those dudes as far as I'm concerned. He's the only one with a ring. And, dude, that team, I don't know how long Nacua and Kupp will stay healthy. But if they do, that's a whole different club out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Stafford was dealing last night. He did have the pick. Landfill, I did want to give you a moment here. Sam Darnold last night, 18 to 25, 240, two touchdowns. The Vikings, though, now, after a 5-0 start, have lost two in a row. I did want to give the great Landini a moment to speak on behalf of his Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is who we thought he was. He managed to lose twice in the last 5 days. You know, I expected it. He's not very good.
All right, but listen to the next stretch for the Vikes. Colts, Jags, Titans before they get back into the division with a game against the Bears. They could very easily get to, what would that be, 8-2 going to Soldier Field. That NFC North is not going to be easy or a runaway in any capacity. And actually, let me pull this up. I imagine with the head-to-head win now, even after a 5-0 start, the Lions are now in first place of, yeah.
Let's back this thing up a little bit, though. Last week, when people started talking about trades, mm-hmm. rumors were that the Vikings was trying to get what's my man in L.A., quarterback.
And also, I think that was also BS.
And also
yeah.
the Rams are trying to get rid of Cooper Kupp. So, listen, maybe that's why Darnold is playing like he is now. Like, damn, we playing against a team and they trying to get this dude from over here?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine – the Rams are trading anybody now. The Rams now are 3-4. They've got some winnable games left. They're a game outside of the division, mm-hmm. right? The Seahawks are leading that division at 4-3. Who are you taking today to win the NFC West? Be the Seahawks are in first at 4-3. Everybody else, Niners, Cardinals, Rams, all 3-4.
JP, I am not going to rule out the 49ers just yet.
Smart.
And I'm not ruling them out just yet. And then I'm not going to be just super, super hype on the Rams because they won a game at home in that situation.
Well, and they can't stay healthy, right?
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. So, like, ultimately, I'll say this, though. I can see why they're trying to – if they are trying to move Cooper Kupp, why? Because Puka Nacua is the bad man.
Badass.
That dude right there. They're saying, okay, we got two of the same people. One is younger. We can let the other one go. We can get something for him. We'll help it. So Puka can play, though.
The only thing I find interesting in a wide-open, I'd say, division, Seattle, Arizona, L.A., and the Niners, they have already played – some of these teams have already played a bunch of division games, including the Niners. Uh-huh. And the Niners in the division, in NFC West games, are already 1-2. Like, okay. the best they could do, and it's October 25th, the best they can do in the division is go .500.
That's understandable.
It's just kind of crazy. They've already played three, and they're 1-2.
But they can whip everybody else outside of that division. That might help them out.
Yeah, that could always even it out. But, dude, the Cardinals off to a 2-0 start in the division.
Hey.
Just something to watch. Kind of interesting stuff.
A lot of times people get up for the division. They don't get up for the other people. But
sure.
We're going to find out how it is down the stretch.
Dude, you know what else I heard? I was listening to – we have a PAC show. I should point that out. Coming up next, Gary Clark, member of the Posse, Super Bowl winner, a friend of Brian's, all-time good dude. Gary Clark's joining the program. He is the Washington Legend of the Week.
The craziest dude I haven't played football with. Nah, I'm joking about the crazy.
You calling someone else crazy is wild.
He is the toughest dude, pound for pound, I've ever probably played with.
I believe. Didn't you say his hammies every week, nobody knew if he could play, and then by Sunday he was going?
Full speed, catch a 7-yard hitch, and go the distance.
What was Gary's 40? What was his 40 time?
Fast.
I'll see if I can pull it up. Fast. I mean, well, hey, he's the kind of dude.
Whatever they tell you it was, he was faster than that. Just believe that.
Dude, you ready for it?
What you got?
4-3-7.
Hey, man, that dude rolling. They rolling. Hey, man, and you running against people like Darryl Green at practice? Hell, you better have a 4-3-something.
Damn, that's fast.
Yes.
Gary Clark at 10:30. PFT commenter joins us at 11. 11:45, the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, will join us for his picks, who is absolutely red hot. High noon, Brad Biggs covers the Bears, going to get us all the way up to speed on everything Chicago in advance of this big game. Also, around 12:30-ish is when I expect we'll hear from Dan Quinn. Maybe we get some updated information on Jaden Daniels' availability for Sunday. We got Jeff's got a new song coming at 12:45. Ask Beamish Anything at 1 o'clock. You know what I heard? I was listening to PFT's podcast this morning.
Uh-huh.
There are no buys this week.
That's cool.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It is. They say they're trying to get through it, but, you know, they got that extra game so they can – push those buys out a little week, a week though.
I found it surprising, I guess. I don't know.
They improved the game. They didn't improve teams, so they got a little space where they can work some things out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, Brian, there was something else I wanted to mention to you. I went and performed my civic duty this morning.
You went and voted?
I went and voted.
All right.
The haters said it wouldn't happen, but I went.
Yeah. I was talking to Gil. Gil already voted too.
Yo, so I will say I have a number of thoughts about voting, none of them political. Early voting is cool. I don't know how long it's existed, but it was way easier to go vote this morning.
I think I'm following up the same thing. I'm going to do it this year, too, because, like, normally I go in and there's a lot of people, and they won't be staring at me, and I stare them down. I'm a little different, so I get a little aggressive during the actual day. So I'm going to go early so I don't have to get aggressive.
Being aggressive is so unlike you.
Landfill, back up.
Landfill, he'll be aggressive.
I got some help in here today, Landfill. Talk trash.
Is Gil in there today?
Yeah, he's filling your seat up.
Damn, I wish I knew that. I knew he was coming to town. I didn't know he was coming in.
Yeah.
So early voting, thumbs up. But the voting industrial complex, like the actual act of voting,
uh-huh.
B, it took me 5 minutes. It was super easy. Shout out to Leland Rec Center. I used to play hoops there. You know what's funny is when you go back to a place that you spent a ton of time at as a kid,
uh-huh.
As a child, you remember things so big. And as I'm walking around in there today, I'm like, damn, this place is tiny compared to my memories.
When you remember it being big, you were tiny.
Right. Right. Two things really stood out to me. One, and I, listen, it's a democracy. Everybody has a right to do whatever they want. Like, I'm cool with whatever you want to do. But on the outside of the building is where these people can, like, try to hand you pamphlets and get you to support whatever their cause is, right? Uh-huh. B, it's October 25th. Actual election day is still a week out, right? Like, 10 days out?
Yep.
Does anybody have a job? There's so many people out there trying to hand me pamphlets. And I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
That is their job, Jay.
Okay. So I suppose it is. You're right. Like, they're paid by whatever these organizations are. I also find it pretty interesting. Like, I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, which overwhelmingly votes one way.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are out there are just overwhelmingly supporting the causes of that side. Like, aren't you wasting? Like, you already got these people. Shouldn't you go somewhere where it's, like, up for debate? I don't know.
Hey, man. A lot of strange things happen around this time of the year.
For sure.
It is what it is.
But, all right, so then you get inside where the pamphleteers are no longer allowed. The inside is supposed to be unbiased, just do your business, all good. And that was certainly the vibe. I was blown away, though, again, on October 25th at the – and I can't imagine these people get paid. Maybe they do. I don't know. But
I'm a volunteers.
Okay, yeah. I would think if you're, like, inside the voting area, you know, like, actually handling ballots and stuff, that is a voluntary position. Brian, they got an army of people in there. I mean, I bet there were 50 people in there.
See, they those people, too, also feel that they're doing their civic duty.
Yeah, I get that.
They want to make sure things go as it's supposed to. A lot of them. That's a lot of them feel.
I understand.
Others have different ideas of that too.
I understand being in the like actual working government aspect of it, like the here's your ballot, good luck.
I'd rather do that what they're doing instead of going to them. Whatchamacallit?
100%. 100%.
You know what I'm talking about. I won't say it out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. But dude, now I understand that the difference in early voting versus regular voting is early voting. You only have whatever it is, 10 locations versus actual election day. You got 100.
Mm-hmm.
But the physical procedure, and it took me no time because there was no line. But you check in, then they send you to this next desk, and they give you like a folder, and then the next desk gives you a ballot, and then you have to go over to the ballot person and decide if you want to do it by hand or electronically. B, I don't know how much these machines cost, but I imagine they're expensive. They're, you know, like they're kind of shaped like an ATM, and you put your ballot in.
Uh-huh.
All the technology in the world. And it's incumbent upon you to make your choices using the pencil, using the pencil,
number two pencil, like we did back in the day to take an SAT test.
Yes, except you're using the eraser because the touch screen on the machine responds better to the eraser than it does to your finger. I just found that hysterical. So all the money in the world, all the technology in the world, here's a pencil. Use the eraser, sir. But there's like a number of checkpoints, right? So on actual election day, that's going to take forever, dude. I recommend everybody early votes.
I think I may be following suit, though.
The only other thing that stands out to me, and I'm curious if it's the same for Gil in Louisiana. I have allergies, and I frequently have to go to CVS and buy allergy medicine. Depending on if I'm getting Claritin or Claritin D, I have to go to the counter and show them my ID, right? To show that I'm old enough to buy allergy medicine.
Uh-huh.
The fact that you don't have to show your ID to vote is wild to me. I forget it every year until I get there, and then they just ask you a bunch of questions. I'm like,
they ask you for your license. I mean your address, and they go along what they have in place. And I know, and the one I go to in Virginia, I always show my license.
No, dude, no license today.
Well, when I go to Virginia, the place I go, I've always. When I walk in, they ask you for identification.
Okay, so maybe that's a state by state, county by county.
You know, y'all got that weird old county over there, so I don't know what's up with that. Montgomery County is different.
it's a wild place up here. Yeah, you can't get beer at the grocery store, and you don't need an ID.
They don't ask anybody for ID. Then later on, they be talking about something. Oh, we don't know who was voting. Well, hell, you didn't ask anybody for ID.
Well, dude, I wish. Here's what I know. One more election where beer at the grocery store was not on the ballot. One of these days, we're going to change it. Gary Clark joins us next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Really?
In moments, we're supposed to be joined by Gary Clark, member of the posse. B, did you ever refer to those dudes in the posse, like in the locker room, or was that just more of a fan thing?
Nah, it's a fan thing.
Like if they were walking
hey, man,
around?
Art, Gary, and Ricky were good enough to have their own name be called at one time. Those dudes were badasses, man.
I mean, the President of the United States asked for Ricky Sanders in the Rose Garden.
Where's Ricky Sanders?
Yeah, dude. Like, how loaded were those teams? God, how good must life have been then? I don't really remember that year, but I certainly remember 91. I sure as hell remember Gary Clark catching that play-action bomb from Ripper in the Meadowlands. Was that Monday Night Football? to go like 7-8-0?
7-8-0.
The Monday night game in the Meadowlands that you guys won, I think, to go in 91 to go to 7 or 8-0.
Hold on. Hold on, JP. I was trying to make sure. Yeah, what'd you say again?
All right. I remember Gary Clark hitting a play-action bomb from Rippon. I think it was a Sunday night or a Monday night game in the Meadowlands where you guys hadn't won in a while. The Giants were defending Super Bowl champs. Was that to go to 7-0 or 8-0? Do you remember that game?
I cannot remember.
You don't remember that? Now you're going to make me deep dive.
Nah,
now,
like JP, I was so focused on just playing. I don't remember the 8-0 or 7. I just tried to win.
Sunday, October 27th, Sunday night game, 7:30 at night at New York. 17-13 final to go to 8-0, coming off the bye week.
There you go.
And here's the man that caught that play-action bomb. It was a 54-yard pass from Mark Rippon, Mr. Gary Clark. Gary, what's up, dude? Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
We good, brother, man. What's happening?
I'm just trying to be the Mitch when I grow up.
Gary, you're older than me, bro.
I still haven't grown up.
So, Gary, I asked B-Mitch this, and he couldn't remember or come up with an exact number. Do you remember your 40 time? Because I looked it up.
My best time was a 4.32.
Damn! The one I found was 4.37, so that's even better. Holy moly, that is flying, man.
They asked me how fast you were, Gary. I said fast. I mean, they can say what they want. Like, people, this is the thing about it. People look at that 40 time and they think that's the fastest a person run. Listen, when you're running by yourself, you can run fast. If somebody's chasing you, your ass run faster. You know what I mean? I guarantee I ran 4-1 when the dog was chasing me one time in Plaquemine, Louisiana. I put money on that.
I'm sure of that. But I was much better at 4.6 than I ever was at 4.3.
I bet. A little more controlled.
Yeah, I mean, you get knowledge over time. You get experience over time. You could get to understand the game better over time. So the longer you're in the league, the more efficient you become.
I bet. So, dude, let me ask you, Gary, because you've been in the area doing real estate, doing all sorts of business ventures, you know, since your playing days, I believe. How different does everything feel now with the organization?
Well, I mean, sorry about the organization, but winning tends to cure everything. When you win, people love you. When you lose, people hate you. Even back when we played, when we had bad season, people didn't like us as much. When we won, people loved us. So winning tends to cure everything. You know, it's the cure-all medicine. So guys are playing great right now. You know, as long as our defense keeps playing good, our offense is going to be spectacular. Special teams are playing, holding their own as well. But our kids are defense. If our defense continues to play well, then we'll go far into this season.
Yeah, when you look at the way Jaden has been playing, and also, I mean, the receivers are helping him out and making some great plays. Terry is doing it unbelievable. I know that you've formed a relationship with Terry. Looking at those two guys leading the way, what are your thoughts of them?
I mean, I think so. I think they can take the team extremely far. I mean, Terry McLaurin, Terry's a beast. I mean, he reminds me as a combination of me, Art, and Ricky, but he really reminds me a lot of Ricky in terms of how he catches the ball. Like, Ricky was the same way. If it came near him, he was coming down with it. Like, and that's what Terry is. It just has to be somewhere near him. 9 out of 10 times, he's going to catch the ball if it touches his hands. He's just an amazing receiver and a dedicated leader on the team. I mean, it's important you have leadership on that team, and I think Terry is doing a great job of doing that, as well as the young quarterback. I think the young quarterback came in and he did what most people don't do. He came in as the number one guy, and he didn't act like the number one guy. Mm-hmm. He came in acting like, what can I do to make this team better? How can you guys tell me what I need to do to help you guys make this team better? That right there completely made me look at him completely different. I was like, young boy know what he's doing. But I tell you what, our backup's not too shabby either.
Yeah.
Gary, B-Mitch has told this story. You know, when you hear about a player dealing with an injury during the week, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And he always references that you had hamstring troubles and then you'd be good to go on Sunday. Knowing kind of your background, and not to compare injuries and everything is different, do you have a thought on what kind of should or will happen with Jaden for this weekend?
I think, well, what drove me was fear. at the end of the day. I didn't want somebody taking my position. Mm. And when my hamstrings went, Ricky Sanders, at that time, Ricky wasn't starting, but Ricky was mine and Art's backup receiver. I was like, if I get hurt and Ricky comes in, I might not get to play again. That's where I looked at it. I'm being completely honest, so I kind of forced myself to play hurt because I didn't want somebody else taking my job. If you're not looking over your shoulder, then your team is just average. If you're looking over your shoulder, then your team is extremely well. I mean, you got great chances of winning, great chances of success. And I think people forget, like, when Art Monk got hurt, Ricky Sanders came in, played in that 87 season, played. Art came back 3 to 4 games left in the season. Art didn't start. Ricky started. Mm. People forget that.
Yeah.
And then in the Super Bowl, Ricky started. Broke the record in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the way that we became the posse is the next season, when they said first team up, Ricky didn't step into the huddle right away. And after about 30 seconds, Art Monk stepped into the huddle. Honestly, that's how Art kept his starting job between all of us. At the end of the day, and then we're always boys. Me, Art, and Ricky were boys. But me and Ricky, we boys. Like, Art's the perfect role model. Me and Ricky, not so much. so we got in trouble together, you know. And I asked him, I was like, dude, why did you step into the huddle? You know, and then we went to Joe, and he went to Joe because I ragged on him, and he went to Joe, and then that's when the posse was born. The next day in the meeting, Joe said, I just want to let everybody know we got 3 starting wide receivers. Mm. And that's how the posse was born, quite honestly. We had 3 wides before, but we didn't run that much of it until after that Super Bowl.
That's fascinating.
Joe Gibbs, smart man.
Yeah.
Like, hey, they can't count 2 of them on the field. If I put 3 of them, that defense is going to be strained.
It's 2, you know. I mean, we had Clint Ditter, who was a great, great H-back at the time, but it was bad for Clint, unfortunately. But, I mean, we were a very good threesome.
Not
that
sure.
This is a bad threesome. We were a very good threesome.
The fact that you followed it up with not that there's ever a bad threesome was such a hell of a line, Gary. That was fantastic. We are talking with Gary Clark, a 2-time Super Bowl champion, 4-time Pro Bowler. I mean, the numbers you have stacked up are incredible. 3 straight seasons with at least 1,100 receiving yards, 89, 90, 91 on teams that are making deep playoff runs. I mean, Gary, you are the real deal, sir, and we appreciate you joining us. You're in the Ring of Fame. I'm curious, a young receiver that the numbers haven't really followed, but he seems to make an impact, especially as a gritty-ass blocker. What do you think of Luke McCaffrey?
I tell you what, I mean, he's making a family proud. You know, he's making, you know, as you can tell, it's, you know, some things are just built into a legacy of a bloodline, and he seems to be following that bloodline. I mean, honestly, the offenses have been impressive. I mean, they haven't really had a bad game yet, you know. Yeah. The game that, you know, they only scored with 20-plus points was, you know, you had defense, unfortunately, giving up 90-yard drives. You know, that eats up a lot of the clock, eats up a lot of time that you can be on the field. So, but, I mean, I like our team. Our team, they're impressive right now. I love how they came back from that loss and put in an impressive win. They should have won the game no matter what, but they made an impressive win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like the excitement back. I remember looking over at the parking lots, and they were all filled, even way back to the street.
Yeah.
I'm looking everywhere, and I hadn't seen that.
Been
a
while.
Seen that probably in like 6-7 years now.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I mean, what winning does. Winning cures everything. Always has, always will.
Oh, yeah.
People don't like to believe that, but it's the absolute truth. You know, people can say I support all the time. Well, to be totally honest with you, human nature, it's hard to support something when it's not doing well. You back up a little bit. May not be like some people go 100% back. Some people go 10%, but you're not doing it full out.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have doubt in your mind, it tends to influence your decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and do I want to drive? I mean, you got people there now, you know, you got people who drive them from North Carolina because they're Redskins fans up to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when we played, that happened all the time.
Yep.
you know, but then it stopped. And for the first time, last week, for the first time, you looked around in the stadium, you saw mostly 95% was burgundy and gold.
Yep.
And absolutely. That's been the first time that's happened since Joe was here. That was the last time it happened when Joe was here.
Gary, last one for me. What do you think of the offense? What do you think of Cliff as a play caller and just kind of the design?
I mean, points don't lie. I mean, with me not even knowing what he's calling, all I got to do is look at the scores. I mean, points are scoring, and he's doing a great job calling plays.
Yeah,
sure. It's hard to argue with that.
Gary, let me ask you a serious question.
You can't argue with the points. I mean, even if you hated them, you'd be like, well, the points kind of like make me the liar, not him.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever not been open?
Maybe I can't recall the time that I haven't. You know, I'm really trying to find the time that I wasn't open. You know,
hey, but if a receiver thinks he's covered, then he's not truly a receiver, right?
Right. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, my job is to come down with the ball. If you put it near me, hope I'm going to come down with it.
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, Ricky Sanders and Terry McLaurin, when that's around them, they're coming down with it.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable how similar they are, how they catch the ball, what they do after the catch. So similar.
That's really cool. Gary, I wanted to say this to you. You were walking around the suite level during the Panthers game, and my friend's son got to meet you, and you let him wear your Super Bowl ring, and he got to tell you about his flag football, and you absolutely made his day. And I've heard about it three straight days. Just very cool you do that stuff, man.
Oh, no. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what people don't realize, fans and kids who play the sports are the most important part of the game. They really do. I mean, they really. Without the fans, we don't even get to play the game, not get paid for it.
Yeah.
And without the kids, I mean, we all remember what it was like when we were a kid watching people play. We wanted to do what they did. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Lynn Swann, you know, or Gene Washington from the Vikings. You know, just what it was.
Yep.
You know, so those kids get to live out their dream and have a chance to. Which I would have had as a kid. I would have had a chance to put on a Super Bowl ring. So if I can make a kid smile by just putting on a ring, it makes my day as well.
I mean, to that point, I was just telling B before you joined us. I remember Week 8 in the Meadowlands, the Sunday night game, that 50-yard deep shot play action you caught from Rippon. Like it's ingrained in my brain, man. It was that gave you guys a lead, and I'll never forget that play.
I tell you, I made up for the one that I dropped. So. I had no chance. I had to catch that one. Let's put it that way. I had to catch both of them. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you had two. You had both scores in that game, and then Chip had the kick. Gary, this is awesome. We'll see you on Sunday. Legend of the game.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate your time. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too, brother.
Gary
All right,
Clark.
B-Mitch, I got your car clean for you, B.
Right. All right, brother.
Tremendous, tremendous dude, tremendous receiver, tremendous speed, tremendous grace. That is Gary Clark.
Baby, don't hurt.
Yo, how funny is Gary, dude?
Funny as hell.
just so good. Oh, man. And his numbers, I didn't want to get into it with him. I try not to even bring it up with you that much, but his numbers can be supported that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Bro,
I mean, over 10,000 total yards, 65 touchdowns. I found this remarkable as I was looking at it. In 11 years, he had 699 catches, okay, B?
Yeah.
How many career fumbles you think he had?
Got to be low. If you're asking that question.
He had over 700 touches in the NFL because he has another 11 carries on reverses or whatever. 710 touches in the NFL. Over 10,000 yards.
Yep.
He fumbled the ball 9 times.
Damn.
In 11 years, dude.
A lot of us can't say that.
Bro, that is crazy. He had 5 seasons with 0 fumbles.
It's a bad man.
I mean.
Hey, look, when you hear him say, he played out of fear. And I think a lot, and we can say we want about players today, yesterday, whatever. But a lot of times, most guys did do that. They felt they had to do certain things and whatever to make sure they kept their jobs. And you watched Gary getting tackled, it was two hands on the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a difference in that. It's like, you know, like in that day, and let's be real, you know, you put inflation on stuff. There's a lot of money playing football then. But ultimately, today, a lot of stuff is guys make it before they make it.
Yeah.
You know?
I tell you what, the last regimes believed in that. And Ron was one of those. Bruce created that culture. I mean, even Shanahan created that culture to a point where, you know, Terry said something really interesting in the locker room yesterday. And I've been saying this for a while, and it kind of comes from Jaden is where I was deriving it, where you can't have a letdown if you never get too high.
Yeah.
But Terry explained yesterday that's coming from Quinn, and maybe some of those guys have it in them. But Terry said Dan Quinn has created this culture where everything is constant competition, and when that's the baseline, everybody's playing out of fear. You're playing out of fear. You're playing out of pride. Like, it can be multiple things at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like the thing about it, like, let's say you have a good game, and then you come back and the game is not as good. But if you're out there and you play your absolute best, you lose the game. I think the serious sports fan can respect what happened. Those that go, oh, man, they just let down, they don't know. You know, they ultimately don't know. But the actual guys that are playing the game most of the time, they don't say, oh, man, we won last week. We're going to automatically win next week. They're trying to work their asses off during the week to be as good as they were the week before.
Totally.
So it happens.
Right. All right. We are minutes away from the Commanders taking the practice field. This is the Friday practice. A lot of times this is the big one, if a player is going to play or not. B, I don't know what you think. I don't know that Jaden will be out there. I won't be shocked if he tries to be out there in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think more and more, I think this comes down to Sunday morning. And I think the way treatment goes and the way just time to heal goes and the way Jaden has played, you let him take it up to the limit. And I almost feel like maybe they even have a workout Sunday. You see this where it'll be determined by a Sunday morning workout.
Yeah.
And they're the 4:30 game, so maybe that workout is more in the noon range or wherever the time stacks up. But do you have a feeling as we gear up, they're set to practice at 11:10 a.m. You have a feeling one way or another how this is going to shake out?
You know what? I kind of last night, sitting there watching the game and just little thought, I'm like, you know what, man? I'm not going to whatever happens, happens. Because that's what the universe is calling for. And they're going to make decisions based off of if he plays, he was healthy enough. If he doesn't, he wasn't healthy enough. I can't be upset either way. So I really don't care at this point.
I care. I just don't know.
No, I don't care. Listen, I don't care about what decision is going to be made because whatever decision is made is going to be the right one. So I'm cool with it. Either way.
B's cool with it either way. You know who else is cool with it? PFT commenter joins us next.